This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi, innal hamdalillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Just a gentle reminder that for the sisters upstairs, inshallah, if we can just keep quiet, those of us who want to listen to the lecture, jazakumullah khair, listen. Those who do not want, find another place where you're not disturbing those who want to benefit and those who want to learn. So find another space, another spot, whether you're busy with your phones or talking to someone else. Please, jazakumullah khair, don't disturb and hinder someone else learning. So today's hadith, inshallah, is the 10th hadith. And in this hadith, alhamdulillah, there will be, bi'idhnillah, a lot of benefits in it. And it's talking about the desire that we have in our heart and one of the diseases of the heart that we already have spoken about, but this would be in more detail. Spoken before about that the diseases of the heart can be divided into the shubuhat and shahawat, if you remember. And these categories are very helpful in organizing our thinking about what is wrong and why it's wrong. And if we understand that, we can understand how to treat it. So only when you understand the disease will you be able to understand how to treat it. So this hadith is talking about one of those, which is the shahawat, the desires. Specifically about fornications, specifically about zina. 10 is today's 10 is hadith. Over there you'll find it number 8. Go to hadith number 8. Yeah, because I reshifted them. So today's hadith is number 8 in your book, number 10 in our series, inshallah.
Oh, our series.
Yeah, inshallah. So let me read the hadith first, and then inshallah offer some explanation to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us. This is both narrated in Bukhari and in Muslim. Here, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب على ابن آدم نصيبه من الزنا مدرك ذلك لا محالة فالعينان زناهما النظر والأذنان زناهما الاستماع واللسان زناه الكلام واليد زناها البطش والرجل زناها الخطى والقلب يهوى ويتمنى ويصدق ذلك الفرج ويكذبه. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written on the child of Adam is their share of fornication, is their portion of fornication. They will surely meet what is written for them, that there is no escape from it. What is written for them, they're going to meet it. So he said, the fornication of the eyes is in looking, and the ears is in listening, and the tongue in talking, and the hands in touching, and the feet in walking. And the heart desires and wishes, and the private parts confirm this or reject it. So, we already said that this is a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about one of the diseases in the heart, and his reference there is clear. Right? Because he, towards the end, he talks about that the heart is the thing that is going to control that stream. That stream of thought and that stream of actions, those stream of actions, and whether they reach their end of zina or not, right? The heart ultimately is the one that will be in control. But before we get into that, let me, inshallah, briefly talk about the channels of the heart, which is primarily here the eyes and the ears. Now the senses, the other senses too, smell, touch, right, are also channels, right, roads that connect the outside world with the heart. But the most powerful channels are the eyes and ears, hearing and seeing. Because the heart doesn't know about the outside world. Now how does the heart know about what's happening outside? It doesn't know except through the eyes and ears primarily. So there's really a very strong connection between what we see and our heart, what we hear and our heart. So the heart doesn't know about the outside world except through these senses. And because they are so important, they influence the heart. And the heart influences them in return. So whatever you see, the image, beautiful images or not, whatever you hear, beautiful words or not, halal or haram, religious or not religious, they will impact the heart. So there is a very strong connection between the two. And because of that connection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us in the Quran and instructs us on how to use our eyes and how to use our senses. So he says, for instance, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبَ أَجَلُهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aren't they looking and pondering the greatness of the heavens and the earth and everything that Allah had created, and perhaps that their destiny, their end is about to expire, is they're about to reach their conclusion. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a sense, is telling you, you have these eyes. So what are you using these eyes for? Haven't you pondered? Haven't you looked at the heavens, the skies, this earth? Haven't you contemplated everything living that is around you? And from that deduced and concluded that there is a Creator who is powerful and merciful and kind and all-knowing? And from that also concluded and pondered your own limited time on this earth, and that there is a day of judgment and that you will be questioned and what have you. So this is an important way for us to use our eyes. Meaning you look at the universe around you. As I said, because of such connection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about it. You want to understand who Allah is, use your eyes. Use your ears. Understand the universe around you. See in it manifest signs of Allah's power. And you will, your iman will increase. This is one way of using our eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran. And another one, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Didn't they travel on this earth and find out the consequence of the actions of those who were before them, those who disobeyed Allah and rebelled against it? That is, you can physically actually move and travel and see people who had existed before, civilizations that have existed before and had perished, stopped to exist because they disobeyed Allah. And when you look at it, you will see, this is what happens. Right? This is really what happens. Here is evidence in front of me. I can see it with my eyes. Here is evidence in front of me that those people perished and Allah punished them or wished that they would cease to exist. And even if you don't travel, right, by foot, you can travel by ear, you can listen to these stories from people who have seen that. You can see pictures of that. And all of this will confirm in your heart that there is such a consequence, that there is repercussion to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and repercussions and consequences to the obedience of Allah. Another third way that you can use your eye, in the ayah in Surah Al-Kahf that you know, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. So this is all about the eye, subhanAllah. And he says, you know, be patient and sit with those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the evening seeking His face, and let not your eyes pass them and look beyond them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You're seeking the glamour and the splendor of this life. So this is also another way. And you can see here a hint to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Do this, but don't do that. And your eyes can do two things. Here are the pious, those who are close to Allah, those who desire His pleasure. He says, sit with them. Confine yourself to their company. Don't go beyond them. Because if you go beyond them, your eyes will start wandering. And what will you see? The glamour of this life. He says, that's not what you're supposed to do. But look at them. Look at the pious. Because you will learn from them. From their example. From their behavior. From their manners. From how they repent. You will learn from everything that they're doing. But if not, if you're distracted by something else, it will be the splendor, the glamour, the glitter of this life. You will look at it, you will forget about the pious. Those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, your heart will start changing. Right? Your heart will start changing. So that what you look at, what you listen to, affects your heart. And I hope that that is clear. What you choose to look at, what you choose to listen to, has an influence on your heart. Right? And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَ بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not extend your eyes towards what we have made some of them enjoy. He's speaking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also should adhere to this. He says, don't look to what we had made them enjoy, of the splendor of this life. Because it's a test for them. So don't extend your life or your sight over there. Don't look there. Because this is their test. It may appear attractive. And it is attractive to some sort, but it is a test. So don't look there. Look somewhere else. Read the Quran and look there. Look at the dunya so that you can learn from it what brings you closer to Allah. Don't look at the dunya so that it will distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So it's very special, this eyesight that we have. And its connection to what we feel. In a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, both reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ أَسْفَلُ مِنْهُ. He says, when one of you looks at someone who is superior to him in wealth or in beauty, let him look at someone who is inferior. That is, whether this look is intentional or sometimes it's not intentional, you just notice that so-and-so has more money than you. More cars, bigger house, right? Bigger family, right? They seem happy, and you hate them because they seem happy, because you don't think that they're happy, you're happy. Say, you know, damn them, you're so happy, okay, right? So they look happy, they look healthy, or beautiful, right? So someone has more beauty. Especially today, where the fitna is very big. They show you the most beautiful people in the world, right, are in front of you. Just turn the internet on, open your browser, the most beautiful people are right there. I've been telling you how much they have, and by comparison how little you have. And how great their life is, and then by comparison how miserable your life is. You go on Facebook, you go on Instagram, everybody's happy, everybody has everything. You say, subhanAllah, this is depressing, ultimately depressing, right? And so, this happens then every day. I mean, before, it was the case that you can stay home and not see all of this. You can go to your neighborhood, you live in a humble place, your neighborhood is very humble. You're fine with this. Now you can't escape it. You go to the grocery store, on the magazine, all of them. Like, so you're gonna stumble and, bump into someone, because all the magazines are showing you all the beauty, the richest people, the most expensive houses. This model, this superstar, this. So you're always seeing that. And when this happens, you begin to resent everything in your life. Hate it, and hate your lot in life, hate what Allah had given you, that it's not enough. Hate your family, hate your children, hate your car, hate everything that you have. You go visit someone, for instance, and they're doing better than you. You come back home, whether it's your wife or you to your wife, and you say, what kind of living is this? Or what kind of living? We don't have enough. Right? That's the reaction that we have. So all of that is because of a gaze, because of a look, and what it brought back inside. Right? So here, the Prophet ﷺ, he says the remedy to this, among other remedies, but he says the remedy for this, says when this happens to you, look at someone who doesn't have as much as you. Right? Because that fixes it immediately. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Iman is also required, but it fixes it. Why? Because with the first look, you notice what they have, but you don't. With the second look, you will notice what you have, but they don't. Because they are inferior to you. They don't have as much money. They don't have as much health. They don't have as much beauty. So then you realize, لا, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allah had given me so much. Rather than complain and be resentful, let me thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what I have. Because I could be like those who are inferior to me. So this is the strong connection between the heart and the eyes. That the heart, or the eyes and the senses and the ears, can capture things that can spoil our heart. And it's also the same thing. If the heart is spoiled, the senses will also be spoiled. The eyes will be spoiled and the ears will be spoiled. Like if a person has, if we go back to the hadith, since if the heart is sick with that disease of zina, meaning that it desires zina, it loves zina, right? It will send the eyes and it will send the ears to capture anything related to it and bring it back to the heart. Like for instance, if you're hungry, right? You'll be looking for food. That's what the heart does, or the eyes do. They respond to your internal need. You're hungry, you're looking for food. That's the only thing that you can see. You're thirsty, you're looking for water. That's the only thing that you see. If the heart desires zina, then the heart will send the eyes, go and seek this zina. Or whatever is gonna inflame my desire, go and seek it and bring it back to me. To the ears, go and seek it and bring it back to me. So the senses are spoiled because of the heart, and the heart can be spoiled because of the senses. And because zina doesn't happen immediately, but it progresses, it has steps to it. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that in the hadith, he is calling these acts that precede it, zina as well. So the eye, when it looks at the haram, he called it zina, and that's the zina of the eyes. So the eye becomes guilty of zina. When the ear listens to the words, right, indecent words, right? A person may not have, you know, subhanAllah, that sin in his heart at that moment, or on in his mind. But he listens to something. And when you listen to something, it reminds you of it. Oh, okay. That thing. And you start thinking about it. So the act of listening to it, the Prophet ﷺ is calling it also zina. So there's a zina for the eye, there's a zina for the ear. There's a zina for the hand, which is the illicit haram touch. That's also its portion of zina. And there's a zina for the foot, walking to these places. That's also its portion of zina. And because these things, subhanAllah, the desire for these things are entrenched or deep into our hearts, and these first steps that we talked about, the illicit look, the illicit word, the illicit touch, all of these are minor sins. But because it's so deep or so strong in a person's heart, the Prophet ﷺ said what? That this is written on the child of Adam. That it's as if it is inevitable. Not that we are compelled, right? Written doesn't mean you're compelled to do it. No, but it, because it's so prevalent, and seldom really do people actually avoid them. Looking at the haram, listening to the haram, touching the haram sometimes. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's as if it's written on everybody, and seldom do people actually free themselves from it. So these are the minor sins, right? And the heart, when we've talked probably about this before, we said that the heart, subhanAllah, is always moving. Right? It's always moving, is always thinking, is always processing. It does not stop. If you remember when we talked about hammam, harithun wa hammam, and the hammam, right, is an appropriate name for a human being because you're always thinking and intending. You're always moving in one direction or the other. So, hammam here means that there's a process, right? There's a process, there is movement, and the heart is always moving. And some of the, you know, wise or some of the ulama have said that the heart is like a mill, right? Something that grinds. It's always moving, it's always moving, right? Right? I don't know if you're familiar with some mills, or especially the old ones, right? Where you put grains in them and you move them and then they grind grains, right? And whatever you put there. So it said the heart is always moving. So what it produces depends on what you put inside. If you collect wholesome grains and you put it inside and you grind them, you'll get what? Grains at the end that you can use, that you can cook with, and that will be nutritious. But if on the other hand you put something unuseful, right, harmful in it, you put rocks, it will grind rocks. If you put glass, it will grind grass. That's what it will produce for you. So the heart is always moving like that mill, like an engine. What it's going to produce based, it will be what you bring to it through your eyes and my eyes, what you bring to it with your ears and your senses. So if we dump garbage into it, it'll produce garbage. If we dump poison into it, it'll produce poison. And though it is based, that statement, that based on a weak hadith, it's authentic nonetheless. The ulama said, you know, that the look, it's like a poisoned arrow from the shaitan. Look at what is illicit, what is haram. It's like a poisoned arrow from the shaitan. When it gets into your heart, it poisons your heart, and then it's hard for you to extract that poison. It's much easier to prevent entry than to try to extract that arrow. Like if it's just going to hit your body and pierce it. Easier actually to wear armor and protect yourself from the arrow rather than have it pierce your body, spill your blood, and then try to extract the arrow from it. So to avert your gaze and look otherwise, look elsewhere, and prevent yourself from the haram is easier than to allow a beautiful image, image of a man, right, or image of a female, or image of a male, whatever this image is, that is haram. But you crave and you lust after, it's easier, right, to prevent it entering the heart rather than you say, let it enter first and let me treat it. It's hard to extract after. Sometimes it imprints so hard on the heart, it's hard to remove it. And there had been stories and stories of people, right, who had been maybe pious before, but because they allowed their eyes to wander and look at this haram and that haram, they suffered a fitna in their hearts and a fitna in their religion. So we have to guard our senses and guard our ears and guard everything, inshallah, that leads to our hearts. And even, I want to say here, even if there's something that is permissible sometimes, and I'm trying, inshallah, to be sensitive about it. Even if it's something that is permissible, that is, if we look at something that is permissible, otherwise that is permissible for everybody else, but if we look at it, and we have such a desire for it, right? Then that thing also becomes haram for us, and then we should try to avoid looking at it or being alone with it, right? Because that can happen. I don't know if I'm being too mysterious. Am I being too mysterious? Yeah, okay. So they talk, for instance, in the books, right, that your attraction sometimes, though you usually are attracted, you know, a male usually attracted to females, a female usually attracted to females. But somehow, subhanAllah, this is an attraction to a beautiful image. A beauty. Like the beauty of the face. A suwar. So it's possible for a male to be attracted to the image of another male. Without assuming, you know, a homosexual identity. It's just that they're very attracted to another male image. Or for female. That also can happen between female. They can be attracted to the image of a beautiful image of another female. So they talk about the fact that if this happens, and it can happen, because subhanAllah, sometimes I hesitate, should I talk about this or should I not talk about this? But if it's something that is actually happening, the person who's suffering from that doesn't understand how to treat it. So better to talk about it rather than just, you know, to be too shy. So if this happens, that it's important for that person to keep their distance. Like you keep your distance if you're male from other female, or if you're female from another male. If this attraction that you have towards another individual, specific individual, be cautious. Because if you don't, it can escalate and it can develop into something that is haram. right? And the way that you do that is, as I said, first it's distance. Another thing is to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this attraction away. Engage in dhikr of Allah, engage of dua on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fill your heart with iman. And with enough distance, this thing will go away, inshallah. Now, the fitna of the opposite sex, let's go back to this. The fitna that we have with women, or women have to with men, is one of the strongest desires that we can have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says in Surah Ali Imran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, shahawat or desires had been made beautiful to human beings, He starts with women. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Right? That this, whatever had been beautiful of this world, is had been made attractive from among, and when we start subhanahu wa ta'ala listing the things that have been made attractive, the first one He talks about is women. So we understand here that the attraction is intense, is strong, and is influential. That one of the greatest fitna that men have is women. And later inshallah with another hadith we'll talk more about that. But one of the greatest fitnas that men have, whether they realize it or not, is women. And women also can be greatly tempted by men. So because of the attraction of this fitna, you have to watch out for it. And you have to be careful about it. And not allow it, and especially the practice of haram in it, not allow it to overtake your heart and corrupt it. Now, from the hadith, we will inshallah learn two important things. How sin progresses. Right? You can glean it. You can sort of get it from the hadith. That when the shaitan comes to you, comes to any human being, he doesn't come and say, commit the gravest sin that you can. Go and kill someone. Go commit zina right now. The shaitan knows better than this, knows that you will not listen to him if there is great distance between you and that sin. So he wants what to bridge that distance, to bring you closer, so that that final act is easy and not so difficult. So what he will do is that he will bring you and me one step closer. He will see what is the sin, the closest sin that I can command him to do, whisper to him that he should do it, and he would do it and would bring him closer to that sin. So maybe it's just a glance, and that's the only thing that I want from him right now. Just look at that and that's it. So if he manages to bring me and you one step closer to that sin, and we agree and we allow, and it continues, now he can bring us one even step closer to it by commanding us to do the next thing in line. So now you just looked, and now try to listen. Now you looked and listened, now try to talk. Now you looked, taught, you listened, now you try to touch. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever he can bring you closer and closer, closer to the sin, that before you know it, you'll find yourself committing that major sin that previously you would have thought, impossible I would do something like this. A'udhu billah, impossible I would have do something like this. Right? Right? So, one of the example is that one of the people who stole and was about to be punished for stealing, or rather even something greater than that. And he was told, you know, how did you reach that level of criminality? And he said, it started with stealing an egg. Right? He said, the shaitan is not going to tell you, go rob a bank. You don't even know how to rob a bank. Right? It's not going to tell you, you know, go and kill someone. He says, I faint when I see blood. How would I be able to kill someone? So he doesn't going to tell you that, but he's telling you, steal an egg. What's an egg? Steal a dollar. What's a dollar? But after he convinces you that you can do the dollar and you can do the egg, then the 10 is easier a little bit. Then you can steal a chicken, then a goat, then a camel, then the big stuff. So this is how he starts, right? Progression. customizing you to the idea that you can do this and that this is fine. Then you can do the next thing and this is fine. And again, subhanAllah, before you know it, you'll be doing that thing that you thought you'll never do. And you say, how? How did I reach here? How did I reach here? And you can trace it back to the first time that you said yes to this thing. So externally, this is how we proceed. From the small to the big. And of course, it's easier to stop when? When it's very small. That's why you have to be very careful and vigilant. And keep your eyes open. Oh, it's haram. This thing is haram. Though it may seem small, this thing is haram. And I'm afraid that if I allow it, it will grow into something very big. And I won't be able to stop it. But also internally, the committing of each sin, any individual sin, also progresses. And it doesn't happen immediately or all of a sudden. It also goes through stages. And some of the ulama also talk about that. They say first, and you can think about how these ideas come into our minds. First, there is the khatra, passing thought. And by the way, some of the ulama, you know, may use different titles for these stages, or this is synonymous with that, but the general idea is the same. It starts as a passing thought, khatra. Then waswasa, recurring thought, comes more than one time. Then hadithun nafs, you start talking to yourself about it. Then ham. And the ham you look favorably at this thing. But yeah, it should be done. And the last one is azm. Azm is when you intend to do it. Right? So for example, it doesn't have to be, you know, something haram. Actually, any thought that comes to our mind comes like that. So you say to yourself, for instance, I want to buy something new. I want to buy a new shirt. It's a passing thought. Just like a passing thought. A new shirt. A new hat. And now, you know, as a passing thought, you can either say yes or no. I want to buy a new shirt. No, I have a lot. Done. You'll forget about it. It's not going to come for a while. Or, I want to buy a shirt. Yeah, maybe. Right? So that's the just passing thought. But this passing thought is like a bird flying on top. Right? It either will continue flying or will land. So if you let it land, it will land. So you say, oh fine, okay, yeah, maybe I'll need a shirt. And then you'll forget about it. But then comes again. Now because you allowed it in, it will come again. How about that shirt? And then again, how about that shirt? Right? So this is the waswasa. Well, recurring thought, you know, it's not like the shaitan necessarily is like, unless the shirt is haram, I don't know. But it's not the shaitan is telling you go and buy a shirt necessarily. It's yourself also. So just a recurring thought. Then you grab that idea and you start to talk to yourself about it. Should I buy it? How much would it cost? Do I have space for it? Do I need it? Will it fit my wardrobe or not? I just bought something recently. Yes, no, yes, no. That's hadithun nafs. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. When you say yes, right? Not yet have decided that 100% you're going to buy it, but when you say yes, that's ham. Oh yes, that's a good idea. So you have ham. Then when you decide, okay, today I'm going to leave the house, I'm going to buy that shirt, that's your azm. This is it. Right? Or you find it on sale and you say, okay, that's it, you grab it, that's azm. Okay, done, I'm taking it. So any idea that comes into our head must pass through this progression. Allah knows best. Right? And then what is the source of the khatra? What is the source of that passing thought? It could be something external. Somebody talks to you about something, you see something. Or it could be something that comes from us. We imagine something. We sit, you know how you sit sometimes and you think about all sort of strange and not-so-strange stuff. You know, sometimes, oh, am I an alien? No, I'm not an alien. Okay, that's fine. Can I go travel? No, I cannot go travel. It's things that you think about. And some of these things are desires that you have, right? Desires that you have, especially when, you know, you're well fed, you know, and you know, you're so full, and when that happens, your desire is very strong. So you begin to think about, what else do I want? Right? So I want women, and it's good to have this, and it's good to have that. So that's the khatra. So it can come in from your own personal needs or your imagination or something that you saw. But this is how it progresses. Khatra into a waswasa, then hadithu nafs, then ham, and then azm. Now they say that when it reaches the level of azm, it's very difficult to stop it. Right? When you've thought about it, you decided it has value, you decided that you want to do it, and now you've reached a level where you've intended, and there's a resolve to do it, it's hard to stop it at that stage. And it's easiest to stop when it is at the level of khatra, just a passing thought. That's the easiest. Or maybe waswasa, right? When it's still recurring, or still, or even hadith al-nafs, when you're still talking to yourself about it. Those are the easiest times when you can push away that sin, that evil thought. Because it has not taken root, strong roots into your heart. The heart has not favored it, has not liked it, is not inclined to it yet, is still processing the idea. Right? But the easiest is at the level of khatra. And that's why they say you have to watch for your khatarat, for your thoughts, and whatever comes into it. And if you remember one of the first hadith that we talked about, and that the heart is being, is very tumultuous and fluctuates very rapidly, it does that because of all the khatarat, the thoughts that come into it. Tens, hundreds of thoughts pass through the heart and the mind. This and this and this and that and that and that. So you have to, like a guard, right? You're guarding a fortress. And you're receiving all the arrows from the enemies and all these attempts of penetration from the enemy. And you have to stop all of them. Because once you allow the enemy through the gates, it wreaks havoc inside. That's the shaitan trying to get in. You follow me? That the shaitan is trying to come in, and he will throw all of these ideas into your head, and you have to stop the shaitan and stop yourself and say, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Now, these passing thoughts will take hold when the heart is empty. When the heart is empty and has nothing to do. Like, for instance, you have a lot of free time and you don't know what to do with your free time, and a lot of free time is dangerous. With no intention, no plan behind it. A lot of free, you're just sitting like this, and you just allow your mind to drift. And the shaitan can see this, that there is no direction to your heart and to your mind, so he will put something in it. And sometimes because you're bored, and I'm bored, we have nothing better to do, or sometimes also, to be honest, you're frustrated with your life. You know, you want something exciting. That's where fantasy comes in. You want something exciting. Life is, you know, completely dull. Gray. So you want something exciting. So you just allow your mind to wander. And to fantasize about A, and to fantasize about B, and to fantasize about C, and this, and this, and this. And some of it is neutral, and some of it is really harmful. So this is an example of a person that allows all these passing thoughts to take hold into his heart and to ruin it. And they will. Or, also it happens because there is a lack of iman in the heart. See, if the heart is healthy and alive, it will not have desire for zina in it. And the evidence is as follows. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنْ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضُ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. He said, speaking to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is instruction is for them, is for them, and all the women of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, O wives of the Prophet, you're not like, when you are pious, you're not like anyone else. Your reward and your station is not like the rest of the women of this Ummah. You're above all of them if you have taqwa, and they do. So he says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. Do not speak softly. Okay? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Because when that happens, the one who has disease in his heart will be tempted by it. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Speak honorably. Right? Speak honorably. So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is instructing them. He says, don't speak softly. Why? Because you may encounter someone who has disease in his heart. So according to the tafsir, it says, that disease is love for zina. So that heart is ready. Is ready. So, when they speak just softly, he will take that as what? Oh, that is evidence that they like me. Right? That they are attracted to me. And immediately what? He will reciprocate by being also attracted to them. And pursuing them. Any woman. This is happening, is going to happen with any woman, right? So the heart that desires zina will have that reaction. You understand this by implication from this ayah. The heart that does not have that disease will not be tempted by that, right? So the heart, when it's salim, it's sound, it's healthy, it's alive with iman, when he hears that soft speech, which soft speech could be very innocent, by the way, just as this is the way that some women will talk. Without intention, you know, of flirting with someone or, you know, trying to attract them. This is how some of them talk, especially if when you encounter non-Muslim women. This is just how they talk. So the person who doesn't have that disease is not going to be tempted by that speech and type of speech. His heart is strong, his iman is strong. He's repulsed by the idea of zina. It doesn't mean that he had stopped being human being, that he doesn't have desire for the opposite sex. No, but the idea of zina, committing haram, angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sullying himself with that filth, he doesn't think, he doesn't imagine that he can do that. So whatever soft speech he may hear does not affect him. And he will reject it and seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect himself from it. Even if it's intentional soft speech. But the other person will be attracted to it. And that tells you about the reaction of the strong heart and the weak heart. Remember the example that we gave before, that if your heart is healthy, right? Or your body actually, if your body is healthy, you know, whether you drink cold water or not, whether you go outside wearing a coat or not, right? It's not going to affect you much. You're healthy. But if you're sick, if the water is slightly cold, it will make you sicker. If that weather, you know, temperature drops a little bit, makes you sicker. Why? Small variations will affect your health. Because you're not healthy. Same thing with the heart. When it's diseased, the slight insinuation, the smallest insinuation that, oh, there is this maybe possibility of zina, allows the person, tempts the person, and attracts the person to it. Right? So, what we want to have is a heart that is free from the desire of zina. To know that it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And that it leads to no good. And that there is a path for the halal that is a more satisfying alternative. And we want that to be the thing that stops us from going to zina. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But there is a difference between the person who leaves zina for the sake of Allah and the person who leaves zina because the opportunity has not presented itself. And there's a difference between the two. Right? So there are some people who leave zina, right? Do not commit zina. Why? They want it. But they're afraid of fadiha, right? To be shamed in public. They're afraid of disgrace. Well, if I do it and people find out and no, I won't do it. There are consequences. And alhamdulillah that there are consequences. At least it stops this person from doing it. But no, it's because of the consequences. Oh, if my family finds out, if my wife finds out, what's going to happen, right? Or the person simply is naive, doesn't know, which is good, but doesn't know where to go for it, doesn't know what to do, is just reluctant. So he doesn't pursue it, though the desire is there. But if it were to be the case that this opportunity presents itself to him or to her, they'll take advantage of it. If there is no repercussion, no consequences, that can happen. Right? So having this desire for dinner is dangerous because maybe the person has it, wants it, but hasn't committed that so far, not because he doesn't like it. Huh? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He knows when your eye is, you know, wandering. You know? When you're just looking at, when you're looking at someone when nobody else is looking. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. And when your heart is hiding. That is, if I'm able to do it with this person, I'll do it. If I'm able to do it, I'll do it. It's just, I can't. So many obstacles. But the heart is saying, if I can do it, I'll do it. Right? So why the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, وَالْقَلْبُ يَهْوَى وَيَتَمَنَّى. What's the difference between the two? قَلْبُ يَهْوَى وَيَتَمَنَّى. The heart desires and wishes. The heart, يَهْوَى, right? He has this desire for something that is possible and close by. وَيَتَمَنَّى, he has this wish for something that is not so readily available, not possible, very distant, but still wishes for it. So, wishing for something, could be wishing for something that is right around you, available. Or, someone that is very distant, impossible, you'll never meet them. You'll never meet them. Like, as they say, they're not even in your league, they're richer and famous, and that's the danger of, you know, having, you know, ishq of a suwar, you know, being attracted to these beautiful, beautiful images. And that's maybe a topic for a different day. But the heart can be so attracted to these beautiful images that it says this thing with their heart. If I can get that person, I'll do it. Although they'll never meet them. It's not possible. But the heart says this. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says the heart can have this or that. For people who are around or people that you will never meet. But it's the same thing. It's still the desire is there. And there you will understand the great sacrifice and the great trial of Yusuf alayhi salam. There, subhanAllah, we will begin to appreciate, oh, I understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that story. Because you have here, just imagine with you have here a young man, not an old man, you have a young man who's a slave. So some people own him. Right? They control him. They can do whatever they want to him in a strange land. And he's in the house of this rich Al-Aziz and his wife. So she's beautiful. She's rich. She has power. And the opportunity comes to him. He doesn't seek it. It comes right to him. And he will have all of these perks if he complies. Because they'll be happy. She'll be happy with him. If you think about money, if you think about facility to be, you know, commander of this and that, power, all of that will be his. And on top of that, punishment if you don't do it. Yeah? Punishment if you don't do it. Going to jail if you don't do it. So this is not just like the fitnas that we may encounter. This is a fitna on top of a fitna on top of a fitna. And he lost his family and there's no one around him that he can complain to. You know, and seek his support, no one to help him. And he's alone, absolutely alone. And to be in jail, and these are not the nice jails that we have today. You know, you have to think of the jails that they had in the past. They throw you there and you're forgotten. Like a dungeon or something like that. If you like historical stories and whatever, right? You know, you don't have like three meals a day and Allahu alam yani. But it's a trial, it's a fitna, and yet he said, "السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إلي." He says, "Jail is more beloved to me than what they are asking me to do." This is a young man who is saying this, right? And he has that desire. He's a human being. He has that desire for other females. But not if it angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not this. He says, I'll sacrifice my freedom, I'll sacrifice my youth, I'll sacrifice whatever. Not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. That's the difference between a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and had cleansed his heart versus a person who has not. And just hides this desire inside. And it's there, and it's sitting there. And he inflames that desire with what he sees. inflames that desire. Because, see, the more that you see these things, the sicker you become. The more diseased your heart will be. The more that you listen to these things, the more diseased your heart will be. The more that you indulge in fantasies, and I know that a lot of us actually might be victims of those fantasies. You sit and you start thinking about, I can do this with this person, this with that person. And before you know it, it takes you to something that is haram. That's also another form of disease. And the way to stop it or to control it is that if you find that when you are alone, you are weakest in front of those fantasies, then don't be alone. Right? Because the shaitan is closest to you when what? When you're alone. Right? You're with me so far, right? The shaitan is closest to you when you're alone. If you find yourself that if you spend too much time at home, too much time alone, and you start thinking about these things, then you know that one of the medicine that is going to treat you is not to be alone. Be with family. Busy yourself with pious friends, good activities. Plan your day, plan your week, plan your month. Yeah. Don't live an aimless existence. This is what I want to do, and this, and this, and this. Have good thoughts. You know, these depressing thoughts or these whatever thoughts that come into our minds, they come because we're not in control. Someone else is in control. No, take control of your thoughts, of your mind, of your heart, and of your life. Plan something. Let me do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Find it. Because the more that you busy yourself and your time with something useful, the less time that you will have for these types of fantasies. Right? These khatarat that keep attacking your mind. One after the other, one after the other, and they develop into one sin after the other, one sin after the other. That's how the heart gets cleansed. Increasing our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from these bad influences. And last, I want to conclude here with a saying from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, which inshallah is a nice saying just to conclude with. He says, تريد الجنة مع النبيين والصديقين وتريد أن تقف الموقف مع نوح وإبراهيم ومحمد عليهم الصلاة والسلام بأي عمل وأي شهوة تركتها لله عز وجل وأي قريب بعدته في الله وأي بعيد قربته في الله. He says, you want heaven with the prophets and the Siddiqun. This is what you're seeking, this is what you desire. وتريد أن تقف الموقف. You want to stand on the day of judgment in the mawqif with Nuh and Ibrahim and Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Is these the people that you want to be around? Right? With the prophets of Allah, with these people. Then he said, by what action? What did you do? بِأَيِّ شَهْوَةٍ تَرَكْتَهَا. What shahwa, what desire did you leave for Allah Azza wa Jal? أَيُّ قَرِيبٍ بَعَدْتَهُ فِي اللَّهِ. What near one did you distance yourself from for the sake of Allah? And what distant one did you bring closer to you for the sake of Allah? Right? So he's saying here, rahimahullah, you know, the emphasis that I want to, you know, highlight here is, أَيُّ شَهْوَةٍ تَرَكْتَهَا لِلَّهِ. He says, what is the desire that you left for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning, that station, that position, that company is not just going to be handed to you, right? Just because you know you want it. All of us want it. All of us want it. You know, you're not going to be fit in this life just because you want to be fit. That would be easy. You're not going to be thin. Not that you have to be thin, but I'm just saying that if this is something that somebody aspires to, you're not just going to be thin just because you wish it. This life doesn't work like this, right? You know, you're not going to be just smart just because you're born smart. You have to work on that. And he's saying, rahimahullah, he says, you're not going to attain that in the hereafter. And he's 100% right. You're not going to get that lofty position to be standing next to the prophets without something that you have done. So tell me, what is it that you have done to deserve that? So what is the shahwa that you had, right? Shahwa that you had in your heart, burning in your heart, and you left it for Allah Azza wa Jal. Which one? Or is it rather than whatever you want you did? Na'am, you can always ask for Allah for forgiveness. But is it that whatever I want I do, whatever I want I do, you didn't leave a shahwa for Allah Azza wa Jal, then how? By what? Then he says, وَأَيُّ قَرِيبٍ بَعَدْتَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Which near person, something that is close to you, you put a distance between you and it for Allah Azza wa Jal. This could be a person or a thing or a place that is harmful. And you realize their harm and you distance yourself from them. Why? For Allah Azza wa Jal. And what distant thing or person you brought closer to you? For Allah Azza wa Jal. By accident they were distant, but by intention you brought them closer to you because of Allah Azza wa Jal. In other words, what is it that you've sacrificed for Allah Azza wa Jal? And then when you see that you've sacrificed something for His sake, then you can aspire and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you with them. But wishing without any demonstration and any proof, right, is the merchandise of the lazy who want to say, I want to be rich, but they sit in their home. I'm going to trade and I'm going to earn thousands and millions of dollars, and days pass and they do none of that. So these are just wishes, the wishes of the lazy. And the Jannah is not a merchandise for the lazy, right? It's very expensive, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً. The merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. The merchandise of Allah is Jannah. So if it is something expensive, you have to pay. I and you have to pay for it. And one of the things that we want to emphasize today is that leaving your shahwa, leaving your desire, even though it's very attractive, but if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates it, leaving it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing with no doubt in your heart and in my heart that there is satisfaction in the halal. There is satisfaction in the halal. We just need to seek it. And the problem is that we don't seek it. And the shaitan beautifies haram in our eyes. So inshallah, later in another hadith, inshallah, we will continue talking about this type of shahwa and how to satisfy our need and the relationship that this has to our heart. But remember, barakallahu feekum, that as I said, there is this disease in the heart, and that disease is the disease of the shahwat. And as long as we are living, we have to try to cleanse our hearts from it so that we will have this sound, comfortable, serene and peaceful heart. I think inshallah we'll stop here, give you time to prepare yourself for Isha. If there are any questions between now and Isha, inshallah, I'm here so I can answer them. But otherwise, jazakumullahu khaira for listening and attending. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Yeah.